Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Jumper today, Peter.
Thanks. Thank you. Would you, if you want to purchase one, Ben Potter,
yeah,
or anyone else who might be listening right now,
yeah,
they can do so by going to triplejerk.mup/shop.
I got home yesterday after the stream and was just like, well, that's the last of my on-screen commitments for the week. I'll put that in the washing machine.
Oh.
Came in. I knew we had a podcast to do anyway, and I just didn't even make the brain connection, and so I'm wearing my dad jumper.
But now that we're on all audio, well, not all audio formats, but a lot of them, all
yes.
of the distribution services.
We're working on vinyl.
You can pretend that you're wearing the hoodie.
Oh, that's true. For people who aren't watching the video,
yeah.
I'm wearing a delightful burgundy triple jump hoodie. I think it's maroon, actually, is the color description on the website.
Is it?
Yeah. I wanted a navy one, but apparently we'll get those next month.
Okay, lovely.
There's lots of colors available. You should go pick your favorite.
Very pretty.
Peter is wearing a rabbit costume.
Yeah, with the thighs cut out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And bare thighs.
And the ass.
And the ass. Yeah. In fact, most of it is cut out. All there is two little bits of fur on each nipple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's got a big tattoo that says triple rump. With an arrow that snakes all the way around his body
Absolutely.
And then just points directly to the Butox
yeah.
on his back,
and
on
then
his backside.
There's arrows pointing to my furry nipples that says double hump on there.
Slow down. Children play here.
Oh, my
no,
God.
No,
no, they do
no,
not.
They don't. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple Jump podcast. I can't remember if I say which episode it is at the beginning.
Just don't.
I'm not gonna. It's a week. And this is a podcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Peter.
And this is the podcast that we do as part of our video game YouTube channel, Triple Jump. Lots of people are letting us know that in their suggested bars, they're getting athletics competitions
Loads
popping
of people
up.
Are getting it, yeah.
In our special Insight plugin that we have on our web browsers that tells us all sorts of video statistics and stuff, it is saying, hey, you could gain some views from this similar video to what you're uploading right now. And it was an athletics competition again. It was the Triple Jump Indoor Championships from a couple of weeks ago.
But wasn't the thumbnail of sort of ladies' bottoms?
It was lady bums.
Lady
yeah.
bums.
Yeah, it was like tight.
Sort of lycra sporty.
Precisely, which yeah. I think is probably where they got most of their views from. So Peter and I are working on some big bare bottom
we're
thumbnails.
Working on some big bare bottom thumbnails.
Yeah, so yeah. look forward, we're not, but look forward to those. This is a video game podcast. I don't know if I mentioned that. We've got some questions from you guys. We're going to be talking about what we're playing. We've got some weird news and also a big discussion at the end of the show. Peter of Austin.
Yes.
What's the first question?
The first question comes from MacIver the Mark.
Oh,
he's a real mark.
Ugh.
How do you feel about the rumored attempts by Sony to buy Take-Two / Rockstar in order to make GTA PlayStation exclusive? Oh, I see. GTA PlayStation exclusive, amongst other things. It sounds like absolute madness to me.
It is.
That's what the question says. That wasn't my response.
But I think we both agree that it is madness.
It sounds like absolute madness.
Because
yeah.
clearly this rumor was total BS anyway, because we've had rumors like this in the past. Like, I think Xbox was linked with buying EA at one point or Activision, and it's absurd. I don't think Sony, even maybe in its entirety, probably has the capital to buy to buy Take-Two.
No.
Who is this huge publishing giant.
With the Rockstar money, the GTA money coming in, imagine the price tag they would be able to justifiably put on the rights to GTA.
Yeah. Well, just the rights to GTA.
Literally just GTA.
They would also get ownership of Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption, everything that 2K, who are also owned by Take-Two, which is confusing, own, including BioShock and Borderlands and all the sports franchises and stuff. Take-Two, I don't know their net worth, but I imagine that their board of directors would not be happy about selling up or wouldn't be willing to sell up.
No.
So this rumor seemed weird anyway, but it caught a lot of traction this week. Oh, God, they're hoovering upstairs again.
I think they wait until the podcast begins.
It's midday on a Friday and they're hoovering upstairs.
I listened back to one of my voiceovers the other day that I'd recorded in the downstairs room.
Yeah,
and
the downstairs room. Next to the quiet place.
Where we do the voiceovers. And you know the creaky, you know, it's really creaky when you're down there if someone's walking above. As I was listening to it, it sounded like it was coming from above. I don't know how that happened. I don't know if it's because we're just inbuilt as humans to think if they hear creaky floorboards, it's coming from the ceiling.
Mm.
But I thought I should leave this in the video and spook the listeners, especially if you live in a bungalow. That would really scare them.
It has so irreparably intruded on one of my voiceovers, which was the exclusive the upcoming. It's getting louder, isn't it?
They're getting really
enthusiastic about hoovering up
there. Well, just talk over it about it.
Yes. So loud noises, etc.
Yeah.
It was in the video I made about games that are still to come in 2019.
Right.
There's a bit where it shows some Yoshi's Crafted World or Woolly World or one of the two, whichever one isn't out yet. And they're jumping along. And I'm talking about a benign or an omnipotent recycling god.
Right.
And there's a noise that comes from somewhere because there's loads of noise. And it just sounds like something's just been smacked. And it's like, oh, well, it wasn't me. I was just reading.
Yeah.
And so what I did is I animated on screen them jumping on a recycling bin that then spun off into the distance.
That was perfectly timed with the smack sound effect.
Exactly. Because I was like, I can't mask this sound, so it's just going to have to be part of the video, and I'm going to have to pretend that it was intentional.
I hope you got a release form signed from the people upstairs.
Oh, God, no. Well, I think... Oh my God, all the
trains
sounds,
are coming out.
The trains,
out.
People
there was a
are sneezing.
Sneeze that won't have been caught on the camera, on the microphone.
I think when we're downstairs, the people that are upstairs are technically cultaholics. I think we're safe in terms of securing rights. But anyway, what do you make of all this nonsense?
Yeah, about this massive buyout. I mean, the one thing that did spring to mind, although generally speaking, I think people monopolizing things, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Just as a general rule, someone owning everything, not great. We've already talked in a previous podcast about how YouTube are, you know, the market leaders in providing video distribution.
Yeah.
And it's never good if someone gets too big for their boots and can just dictate how the industry works. But on the other hand, you talk of Disney.
Yes.
Who now not only own all the Disney things from the past 50 years, but also everything owned by Fox. They own Marvel. They've recently, don't they? They now own the X-Men, because that was Fox.
That was Fox, yeah.
But now they're able to, because they own Marvel, presumably they'll be able to start bringing in X-Men into their Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
They own The Simpsons. They own Star Wars. So the one good thing about doing things like that, as I say, with X-Men and Marvel now being owned by the same people...
I feel like Marvel is the only example that makes sense in this whole sordid business.
Is the crossover capabilities.
Yeah, which is how it should have always been.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's the classic hilarious meme of the past couple of months where there was the petition to get Shaggy into Mortal Kombat 11.
Yes.
And Shaggy is owned by Warner Brothers, who also... Yeah. By a chain of command own Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have done that if they wanted to. They probably didn't want Shaggy Doo to be sliced up by Scorpion.
No, probably not.
So I think that's mainly the reason they didn't do it. But
so Injustice then?
Yeah.
Injustice 3.
Injustice 3.
Shaggy pre-order DLC confirmed.
But I do like the idea that, like, if some ludicrous buyout happened where one company owned loads and loads and loads of IP, imagine the sort of Smash Bros. PlayStation Battle Royale style game that could be created with, like,
incredible.
I mean, just going off that, you could have some GTA characters versus, you know, John Marston, a Big Daddy, You know, who else?
Mad Moxie in there.
Yeah.
John Cena from one of the WWE games.
And some basketball players, maybe.
Yeah. Do you know any basketball players? I could probably name one just from popular culture, but I think we should invent what we think a basketball player's name would be.
So not Michael Jordan is what you're saying?
Not Michael Jordan.
Okay. Brandon, that's an American name. Brandon...
Long legs.
Brandon Tallboy.
Brandon Tallboy, there we go. So Brandon Tallboy versus John Cena in there.
Yeah.
But I'd be more excited about the kart racer, to be honest.
Oh my God, the kart racer. Yeah.
I just got spooked by my own microphone there. I forgot it was there. Smacked it with my face.
Okay.
We now turn to Push Square, who have, well, not them themselves, but report on the rebuking of the rumor.
Okay.
The source of the rumor, a Wedbush securities analyst.
Wedbush?
Wedbush.
That's where you go to propose, isn't it? In front of the Wedbush.
In front of the Wedbush. No, maybe in the village that you're from up north. You've got to get betrothed by the Wedbush.
You tie a ribbon on the Wedbush and leave an offering to the local white witch.
Yes, the Wiccan witch.
Yes.
Wedbush securities analyst named Joel Kulina quickly poured cool water on escalating flames, claiming that it all started with unconfirmed market speculation or hearsay.
People just rumouring around the office.
Yes.
Cool water they poured on the escalating flames. Not cold water.
Not cold water.
Just moderate.
It was wearing sunglasses.
Semi-chilled.
A Bloomberg tech reporter named Yuji Nakamura later followed up with the Japanese giant itself, which said there is no truth to the story. So as we'd assumed all along, it's a load of ball hops.
Yeah.
That was a fun new word I invented.
Ball hops.
Ball hops.
Yeah, a load of bug lords.
I don't know, that sounds too close to something someone could get arrested for. That would be madness if it did happen. And if it did, you'd have to imagine that Sony wouldn't make a lot of these franchises exclusive, because part of the reason they make so much money is that they're on almost everything.
Yeah, true. You probably make more money allowing Microsoft and maybe Nintendo and PC to have these things on their own platforms. Yeah.
Microsoft owns Minecraft now, and it's still supported across PlayStation platforms and stuff. It just doesn't make business sense if they were to keep it to themselves.
It's one thing sort of thinking, oh, I want a piece of that, you know, Rockstar pie, or, you know, I want X game from Take-Two. But, you know, PlayStation are already making some excellent games. If anything, I would expect Xbox to be like, oh, we desperately need to up our, you know, the IP that belongs to Microsoft, you know, that we could potentially have as exclusive.
Yeah.
And they, you know, if anyone's going to do it, you would think Microsoft would desperately be scrabbling around to buy up companies. So Sony, of all people, while I'm sure they probably have not the capital for everything, but for at least some of that deal.
Mm.
I don't know why it would interest them. They're doing all right, I'd like to think.
Yeah, they've got a fantastic collection of first-party studios, I think.
Yeah.
I think they're okay. They're okay without this, as incredible and weird as that would be. Let's move on, Peter.
Let's.
It's time for What We Play In.
Oh.
So What We Play In, Peter, is this groundbreaking section where we talk about what we
play in.
That's it.
That's what we do.
You're a fast learner.
I am. I've learnt already.
Peter, what are you playing currently?
I am playing currently. Well, not currently, because I'm actually recording a podcast.
Oh, you are. I can see that.
But within the past 24 hours at time of recording, Ben and I played, I love the game, called A Way Out.
a Way Out?
A Way Out.
Yeah. Explain to the good people at home what A Way Out is broad sense.
You bet I will. It seems like it's going to be a long, super fun, cooperative experience about a jailbreak.
Mm.
Spoilers, we streamed for 2 hours yesterday evening.
VOD going out on Monday.
VOD going out on Monday, yes. And we escaped the jail before we even finished the stream, so sort of an hour and a half maybe into the game.
Yeah, that wasn't the end of the game, Mike.
No,
it continues very much after that.
So but it, you know, whether you're disappointed with that or not, which I think we both were a little bit, that you know, it'd be nice to do a bit more of the jail stuff, that was fun. The one thing that you can take a bit of solace in is that it's a fairly unique multiplayer cooperative experience, isn't
it?
It's split screen. You can play it locally. I think you can still play it online, though, as well, can't you?
It can only be played in co-op. You can't play it on your own.
No, yeah, but I mean, but you can play with someone else.
It can be played online. But when you play it online, it's still split screen.
Yeah,
so you still see what the other person is up to.
Yeah, and it's got this sort of dynamic. The split screen itself is like changes depending on what's going on. Sometimes like one half of the screen will have cinematic widescreen bars on it and the other one won't.
Yeah. Peter was butt naked and I was just looking over the barriers at his butt naked character in a cutscene.
This is great. Yeah, in the game.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes.
But that aspect of it, even though some of the voice acting is a little bit ham-fisted.
Hey, come on, we've got to go break out now.
What did the prison? We need a fur. How are we going to stop the fan?
It's a little bit like Rocky after he's been in the ring for more than 10 rounds.
Yes, which is saying something.
Yeah, but it was fun. Like, mechanically, you know, it seems more engaging for the other player. So what you're doing personally interests the other player, which with a lot of cooperative games it doesn't really. You're basically just playing the campaign together, but you're almost going like two lone wolves who happen to be fighting.
Who gets
the
objective
button.
First? Yeah, exactly. Triggers the cutscene.
But yeah, I was sometimes watching what Ben was doing on his side of the screen looking.
Screen peeking.
Yeah. And realizing, oh, my guy's just standing in the middle of the, you know, the gym or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think so far I'm really enjoying it. I'll be interested to see where it goes now that we're out of jail. But, it's a fairly unique multiplayer split-screen co-op experience.
It is, and we'll be streaming more of it on Thursday, probably. Yeah. That's going to be our new Thursday game when we stream together. I imagine we'll probably finish it within, like, 3 streams or thereabouts, because it's not the longest game in the world. Mm-hmm. I've played it before, but I have similar sentiments to you in that It's Derry Wonkums.
Derry Dunkums, yeah.
Yeah, Derry Wonkums at times. But like on the whole, as a unique cooperative experience, there's nothing like it. It's really well made and it's very polished. It's just the dialogue and the story just falls off a cliff almost immediately.
I mean, literally, one of the characters, in his animation for getting down off a cliff is sometimes
just falling head first.
Like those GTA sort of tumbles you can do where you jump in the air and press the attack button and you just
sort of fall
face down onto the pavement.
Yeah, I think if you didn't catch our stream from this past week, then I would recommend watching the VOD because I thought it was a very entertaining romp. It was good fun.
Yeah.
And again, more of that on Thursday.
Ben?
I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare Remastered.
I was about to ask you the question. What have you been... what have you been playing?
I'll tell you, Peter. I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare Remastered.
Okay.
And I'm really liking it. Sometimes with multiplayer games, I get very frustrated. Mm. And oh boy, do I get very frustrated at Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare Remastered.
Yeah.
It's a good name. I initially didn't bother picking this up like a lot of people because it was bundled in exclusively with Call of Duty Infinite Warfare from a couple of years ago to sort of drive sales because they were sort of dropping off a little bit.
There are people who play that old one that they liked. We'll just get them to play that again.
We'll just remake that. Well, it's a remake in that it's on their new engine, but it still plays exactly the same as it used to.
Okay.
So it's a real return to form because I used to play that so much at the time. And, you know, it's going back to 3 kill streaks gets you a UAV, 5 gets you an airstrike, 7 gets you a helicopter. Obviously, what that means is now that people aren't terrible at the game, there are some people who are terrible at the game.
Yeah.
What it means is that there's a UAV triggered almost every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So you pretty much have to get the perk that hides you from UAVs. Otherwise, everyone knows where you are all the time.
And there's just helicopters probably flying around constantly.
Absolutely, constantly. Mm. I did have a career best match the other day. I played a game of domination where it's basically there's A, B, and C zones that you have to capture and hold.
Oh, yeah.
On the map Shipment, which is the one with the shipping containers.
Is that the really small
one? The really small map where everyone's bumping into each other all the time. And the A, B, and C in this instance were about 2 seconds sprint away from each other, just separated by shipping containers. So there's grenades flying everywhere. Mm-hmm. I died, I think, I can't remember. I took a screenshot. I died somewhere in the teens, the late teens, like 17 deaths. And I got 91 kills.
Sorry, can you see?
I got 91 kills.
91 kills.
And the closest was about sort of like 50 to 60.
Oh my God, you're some kind of beast.
I know. I've never been able... I'll never repeat it again, I'm sure. But they've added all sorts of new game modes that people like Prop Hunt is in there now, which is fun. There's tons of new game modes that they didn't have in there before. Gun Game, things like that they've added later on. It does have those loot crates.
Oh, boy. We love those loot crates.
They are just cosmetic, but they do make it a big part of the experience. It really is right there in your face.
Do they have a really flashy sort of satisfying opening animation?
Oh, it's so satisfying.
That you just gets your dopamine absolutely pumping.
They've got a special loot crate lad.
Oh, yeah.
Who's sitting outside a big old airplane, and he's got his smuggled goods in it.
Oh.
And when you choose to buy something, he stands up and goes, "All right." And the camera zooms up into the plane and the loot crate opens and there's like explosions. And then a hand reaches out from the PlayStation 4 and it fondles your genitals.
Oh my goodness me.
Yeah. So people, it's addictive. It's gambling.
I mean,
you do get a nice little rub down every time.
You would.
But apart from that, it's great. And obviously they've remastered the single player as well, which I haven't touched yet. I've just done the multiplayer because I've been playing with friends and it's been lovely. But that's what I've been playing.
When are they going to remaster Call of Duty 2? I loved that game.
That's your favorite, isn't it?
Well, it's not necessarily.
Peter Austin made that game all by himself.
Where did that come from? That's your favorite, isn't it?
I remember you telling me about it funnily the other day and I just thought, well... Peter Austin must mean that it's his favorite game.
Not just his favorite Call of Duty, but his favorite game. In fact, not even game. It's his favorite
it's
thing.
It's his favorite.
Yeah.
Peter Austin. Peter Call of Duty 2 Austin by Deedpole. He's changed his name.
That's me. Yeah.
Yeah, you like that one though.
It was good, yeah. I mean, it's not. It lacks a lot of the maneuverability of the others. You can't sprint. You're just sort of wandering around. I don't think there's even any head bob, if memory serves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just very stiff. But
strange FOV stuff.
A lot of fun. A lot of rooftop sniping and stuff.
Yeah. Sniping.
Sniping. Anyway, that's what we're playing.
let's move on to the next question.
Hmm.
This comes from... Oh, we should also mention that all these questions have come from patrons at patreon.com/ Team Triple Jump.
Team Triple Jump.
Team Triple Jump. So if you want to ask questions that can be featured on here, please do go there. We post about it usually the day before we record. Yeah. And... questions that we think are wonderful, but we don't have space for in the schedule, we put to one side and we hold on to for a rainy day. Mm. So don't worry if you're asking a question, it's not being featured. There's a good chance it's in the bank for later.
Unless it was a stupid question.
Unless it was rubbish. Liam Hammond asks, have you guys ever wanted to work on the back end of gaming, like the building process of a game? So development, I'm assuming. Well, I picked this one because I just wanted to address it, really.
Yeah, you've got... sort of some level of previous in this.
I did work in game development. I worked in game development only for 6 months, but I worked at Splash Damage in London, who made Brink. People remember Brink. They made Dirty Bomb, which was a free-to-play shooter. Loads of stuff. I think they worked on some ports and also the multiplayer offering for a few Gears of War games and stuff. They sort of focus on multiplayer stuff.
Right.
Splash Damage. And I went in there as a production tester or a QA tester or whatever you want to call it. But I had a focus on audio. So I was in... I think it was a couple of times a week we had production meetings that we had to go to for our specific speciality and department. So I was going and meeting with the audio guys that were working on the project. I don't think it's even still been announced yet. I don't actually know. I did that for 6 months and then I got a job doing video stuff, which I was far more qualified to do.
Right.
That was it. So I have worked in game development and it was really interesting and fascinating. And
how does one QA, how does one test audio? Did you just play games and listen to them?
Well, we had a checklist basically.
Right.
The whole system, when you think about how game design has got to work, like building a massive game with a team of 200 people, there's just, it's all sort of hierarchy and structure and everybody's reporting to everybody all the time. So everybody knows what someone else is working on. And there were workflows that we were going through. And when new updates were put into the build that we were testing, we had to go through and test the new Basically, we just had to work our way through a checklist and test that all the sounds were happening when they were meant to happen.
Okay.
So, like, getting in-game unlocks or whatever at a certain point in the game. Mm. Like, we had to make sure that that was making the sound that it was meant to make when it was meant to make it. And if it didn't, right. then we had to report that and then work with the person who basically was in charge of fixing it.
Yeah.
To then make sure that it then worked again, and then that didn't then break something else.
Right.
So it's all kind of a house of cards.
Yeah.
I'm trying to take stuff out when it doesn't work and put something back in without ruining something else.
And were you almost encouraged to try and make it not work in testing? Like, I've heard that there's an element of that, like,
yeah.
that some certainly from a gameplay perspective, maybe not so much from an audio perspective, but if you're, like, testing gameplay...
Mm-hmm.
You're encouraged to like drive through walls and stuff.
Yes,
and
yeah. Absolutely. So we, and that was incorporated into like the workflow of what we had to test. It
right.
was things like, have you tried doing this in this weird way because it broke it previously?
Right.
But we're, you know, then we'd have like downtime when we weren't working through the daily, I think they were called smoke tests. We weren't working through the daily smoke tests, and we were just like messing around in the game trying to break stuff.
Mm.
And that sounds fun potentially, but when you're doing it in a very early build of a game
yeah.
all day every day,
probably the same level most of the time,
well exactly the same
locations
level, over
yeah.
and over again. And I would actually quite like to say very quickly that my time at Splash Damage was wonderful.
Mm.
And I've heard some absolute horror stories of working in QA, like working horrible shift hours, like overnight and stuff, and they bring people in. We were treated like an invaluable, like the invaluable members of the team that QA really are.
Yeah.
Because you can play games that haven't been QA tested properly.
God,
you
we know.
Know
nowadays, particularly
yeah.
like lately, because now you can just patch stuff out. So it's like, oh, we won't QA it that much. We'll yeah. just, you know, we'll fix it later.
Yeah. But what about you? Have you ever like felt an inclination to go into that kind of line of work, or have you been interested in it before?
Like, I think a lot of people of our generation, when they were kind of, I don't know, between like 10 and 15 maybe, they might have thought, oh, I'd love to like make games, because you yeah. have a sort of probably quite a not an accurate image in your head of what it would be like that. Mm. You just sort of go in, there's just sort of assets there already for
yeah,
you
yeah you
to,
just start building blocks,
yeah, you just
right?
put
you
them
just put
in
it
it's like
together.
Lego yeah and
yeah.
then at the end of the day you've already got like level one done, and it's like this awesome game that you've always
yeah.
wanted to make. And I think
that's
in
really
that
good
respect
at the map editor
exactly
know,
well so that's what I was going to say. So in that respect, I probably thought once upon a time, oh, I'd like to make games. I think as I grew older and realized, you know, after doing work experience, not even anywhere relevant, but just realizing how work in general actually is, you
yeah.
know, it's like, oh, it's not actually very fun. That's why you get paid to do it. Mm. I may have thought, probably don't want to go into that gaming thing. But I was big into map editors as a kid. So, you know, if I think the closest I could see myself wanting to be, you know, kind of behind the scenes on gaming is if I had the patience, mm. I wouldn't say no to like modding stuff and like building kind of extra fan-made content.
Yeah.
Because that is a little bit more like building blocks kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done some stuff with Elder Scrolls before.
I was going to say, you should just go work at Bethesda. It just sounds like they reuse the same engine, build the worlds fast.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a little bit like when we did Skyrim Zoo last year.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that was almost, it was me kind of using some ideas that I'd always wanted to use in like online video. I've always wanted to like make machinima as well, but I never really got around to doing it properly. But like, yeah, I used to build a lot of maps on Stronghold. They're like strategy castle building medieval game
yeah.
on PC. That was a lot of fun. And I used to do a lot in Time Splitters Future Perfect as well.
Oh,
the map
man.
Editor on that. That was a lot of fun.
The extent of my experience with level editing or level creation in Time Splitters Future Perfect was just making a room that had all of the best weapons in it and just seeing what happened.
Right, yeah.
And it was amazing.
No, like, the more complex a level editor is, the more fun I would at least try to have with it. Eventually you reach a point where it's just too difficult to understand, but
yeah.
like a lot of level editors have the ability to add like triggers and effects and stuff, so like once the character walks into this certain zone on the floor, like
mm-hmm.
that makes something blow up or something
yeah.
like that, you know, things like that are a lot of fun, just trying to tile that together in a less abstract way than I think it would be if you were an actual game developer, where it's all just
right.
code and stuff like that.
Well, having said that, Media Molecule is one example that leaps to mind, where they've actually hired some of their player base
mm.
who've made incredible things in their game.
Yeah.
In Little Big Planet, to be specific. But Dreams is, I believe, starting to roll out this year, mm-hmm. and that's essentially a full-on game engine where you can create your own experiences and games in it. So,
but in that kind of building block style. So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah, that looks a lot of fun. I'll definitely be playing Dreams, I think. Mm-hmm. I've never played Little Big Planet, and I don't know why.
Oh, it's so good.
I know I would enjoy it, but...
So good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our experience with game design. A little bit on my end, and aspirations from Peter Austin.
Some, yeah.
He's going to run the entire world one day.
Definitely.
Let us know in the comments below if you have any experience or like if you ever thought about getting into it. Because I know a lot of people go to college and university and do game design courses and stuff. Because there's loads of like interesting avenues into the industry.
Yeah.
I was able to get my job, in case people are interested, just by using transferable skills from an IT support job that I hated.
Yeah.
It's just sort of a passion and an entry-level position and some transferable skills. And if you interview properly and you go to the right place,
exactly,
you can make your way in. You don't need any the formal qualifications necessarily. Mm. So follow your dreams.
Do it.
Wink.
Wink. Make Call of Duty 2 for me, please.
Yeah, remake Call of Duty 2. Peter's favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
Peter,
yeah,
it's time for the weird.
Can you smell that? It smells weird.
It's weird news.
Mm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Weird news time, Peter Austin.
Yeah.
I've got a weird news for you.
Okay.
I'm taking out my telephone.
Yeah, you get yours out.
That's where I'm going to whip it out.
I'll fill. What I'll do is I'll ask you the question really slowly. So by the time I'm done, you'll be ready. Ben.
Yes.
Have you heard any weird news this
So in Japan, week? Peter.
Yeah.
They take drugs incredibly seriously. I'm talking about drug abuse.
Sorry. In Japan, they take drugs.
Incredibly
serious.
So when they blaze it, 420, my dudes, they frown.
Yeah, they do it. And they furrow brows.
They get dressed up in a nice suit, a nice 420 suit,
yes.
420 yen suit, which is actually worth very little in most
50p.
Currencies.
Yeah.
So in Japan, yeah, they take drugs very, very seriously, very anti-drugs.
Really?
And
more than elsewhere?
Yes,
okay.
Very much so.
Didn't know that.
So here's a quote from Japan Times' Philip Brazier, that's hard to say, on the country's stance on drugs. Since being arrested for possession of stimulant drugs on June the 2nd, it is assumed that 30-year-old actor Ryo Hashizumi's career is over. Mm. As Mark Schilling wrote on the June 15th Japan Times, Hashizumi's latest film, in which he plays a supporting role, was pulled from theatres. It reopened on June the 17th, but with Hashizumi's scenes deleted. It's very serious. Deleted.
Ooh.
For all intents and purposes, he had become a non-person in show business.
My God.
And I mean that literally. Owing to the way drug busts are covered in the media, anyone even accused of using illegal substances is presented as not just a criminal, but something subhuman.
Oh my God.
The idea was established in the 1980s with an anti-drug public service announcement which used the slogan Ninjen Yamemasu Ka, meaning, will you stop being a person? And that, by that, they mean taking drugs.
This sounds like a witch hunt from like the 1600s. Like, you just have to accuse someone, and it's like, oh, well, you're guilty because someone accused you.
So drugs is seen as just like the filthiest, most disgusting thing a person can do in Japan, or God, one of. It's societally, it's just, it's not even frowned upon. It's no, don't. Otherwise, we will ignore that you exist. And that brings us to Yakuza Judgment, which is a spin-off of Sega's Yakuza series,
okay,
of course, which is meant to be coming out this year. The series has been around since PS2 and has a very large following in both Japan and the West. I played Yakuza 6 last year, actually, and it was amazing. And I was talking to Richard Tubman from Cultaholic about it earlier because he's just finished it. So needless to say, these games are a big deal and people really enjoy them. So we turn to IGN for this report. Sega announced today that it has halted Japanese sales of Yakuza Judgment, the latest action-adventure game from the developer of the Yakuza series. The reason behind this sudden decision is the fact that Pierre Taki, whose voice and likeness are used in the game as character Kaiohei Hamura, was arrested as a suspect for the usage or possession of drugs. Minichi News reports that the 51-year-old Taki confessed to using a small amount of cocaine and police are currently searching for further evidence. If prosecuted, Taki could face up to 7 years in prison.
Oh my God, just a pinch.
Just for a pinch.
Just a Delia Smith pinch of cocaine. A dash.
Just a
little sprinkle.
Little sprinkums. Mm. On its official website, Sega announced, "We have received reports of an arrest and we are currently..." I'm really struggling with this. I've made it so small I can't even read it. And we've received reports of an arrest and we are currently confirming the facts. We're withdrawing judgment from sale in Japan for the time being, including both physical and digital editions. Sega also stated that it will no longer promote the game online, with the official Japanese website no longer accessible, and all past tweets by Sega's official Twitter account regarding the game being deleted.
Wow.
And this has happened before in the Yakuza series.
Really?
In the recently released remaster of the Japanese version of Yakuza 4, the voice and likeness of policeman Tanimura were recast after the original actor, Hiroki Narimiya, I think, retired from the entertainment industry following unsubstantiated cocaine rumors. So basically, there were rumors about him taking cocaine and he just retired.
He had to retire.
He just retired.
It's quite fitting. I mean, it being Yakuza, is it about Japanese organized crime?
It is.
Right. And do Japanese organized criminals do much dabbling in the drugums?
Well, I don't know, but I still think societally it's just not done.
Because it's so frowned upon that
it's
even
so taboo.
The Yakuza organized crime syndicate of Japan will not do drugs.
I can't speak as an authority, but I know there's a great deal of Japanophiles out there who I'm sure will tell us all about it in the comments.
Okay.
It's possible that Judgment will similarly receive a patch that replaces the character model and voice for Taki's character, Hamura. Taki also performs the voice of Olaf in Frozen, in Japan, of course, and in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, I think I'd heard that. I think I'd heard that Olaf was being removed from Kingdom Hearts 3.
Well, that might be voice. Why. And he's also a member of revered electro duo Denki Groove.
Okay.
So there's no word yet on whether those projects are going to be affected. It is not known if this incident will have any influence on the Western release of Judgment, which is scheduled for June the 25th. So I just thought that was really interesting because to many of us it might seem like a massive overreaction, but I think it's just fascinating how Japan views drugs in that Sega have not only pulled the game, but they've deleted all of their promotional tweets about it.
Yeah.
It's
that's
just
not even
mad.
I mean, you know, if one or two of the tweets had just been like, you know, a character profile on that guy, or like, here's a scene featuring, but all promotional, I bet most of them were just, hey, this game's coming. Hope you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
They had to delete all that.
It's all gone. So basically, they're kind of pretending that this game doesn't exist, despite the fact, I think, that it is already on sale.
Right.
And people will probably find a way to translate it and bootleg it and throw it around the place.
It comes with a free crack pipe as well.
Oh, no. The crack pipe. But yeah, let us know what you think of that in the comments.
Yeah.
I just thought that was very weird. Peter Austin, what have you got for me?
Ben.
Yeah.
In Japan.
Yeah.
They take sex very seriously.
They take sex.
They take sex.
Very seriously.
They frown while they're having sex.
And they wear their special birthday suits.
Well, you're absolutely right. they do wear their special birthday suits.
Do they?
Now, this is a story that was reported by multiple outlets, but I deliberately chose the interpretation by The Sun.
Oh, was there a reason for that?
Well, because it's The Sun.
Okay.
And they talk about things like this in an amusing way.
Right. I'm sure it's perfectly respectful and...
tasteful.
Well-worded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play away, it says.
Okay.
Bizarre naked gaming suites at Japanese Love Hotel have dance mats, bongo drum games, and even a slide.
A slide, yes.
So, as I say, it's reported by The Sun. Mm-hmm. Japan's famously cramped living conditions.
Okay, thanks to The Sun.
Yeah. Japan's famously cramped living conditions and tight family ties have led to an explosion in, quote, love hotels, where young couples can easily rent a hotel room for a few hours to indulge in activities they'd rather their parents didn't have to listen to. Now,
I don't know if it's for the couples, though, is it?
I mean, I've heard of love hotels. I didn't think that the reason they existed was because people don't want to have sex in their parents' house.
No, I'm fairly sure it is a place where one might meet a lady or man of the night.
A lady or man of the hotel.
Yes.
Some of these are purely functional, offering little more than a bed and possibly a shower, it says.
Oh,
bloody hope so.
Japan's famously cramped living conditions.
Yeah. But others have taken this simple idea and run wild with it.
Whoa, what have they done?
They've created some truly outlandish places for getting it on.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, The Sun.
I'm not sure I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Hotel Eldia is definitely in the latter camp. Their hotels across a wide swathe of Japan offer everything customers might want to keep themselves entertained, from air hockey tables and dartboards to full-size musical arcade machines.
Whoa.
So essentially, this stems from the fact that someone went to one of these hotel rooms, tweeted that the room basically had a bed, I think a shower and stuff as well, a coffee table, and then also two giant dance mat arcade machines.
Oh my god, it's huge.
Yeah, and she, I think it was a lady, tweeted that, like, oh, we had a dance machines in our love hotel room, so we did it naked.
I think that's fair. You would, right?
Why not?
I hope they're wiped down. I really hope they're wiped down, because just think how many people have had sex while they're dancing to It's Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday.
Got to get down on Friday. Well, not get
down.
Well,
got to go down on
gotta
Friday.
Got to go down on... Who's Friday? Is that her name?
No, she comes later.
Friday. She comes after
going down.
Okay, I see. There's also this.
Wow, the bongo machine
is
amazing.
It's so suggestive, isn't it? You know, assuming that there's a topless woman playing that, I mean, if you blindfold the man, he might not know what he's doing.
Yeah, suppose not.
Yeah.
It just conjures up all sorts of images in
I'm
your
just
brain.
Sort of taking The Sun approach to that.
You really are.
There's one with a climbing wall as well.
Why?
I mean, we will enclose the link to this article in the description of the YouTube version of this podcast.
Yes.
So YouTube...
And also the podcast as well.
Oh, can we do that?
We can.
Okay.
I don't know if they can open the link, but it'll be in there.
Okay.
So,
You too can look at all these photos featured of Japanese love hotels in The Sun.
The Sun.
If moving your feet isn't really your thing, but you need to get your rhythm game fixed, you've also got the option of beating on some massive bongos.
Good.
Thanks, The Sun.
Thank you, The Sun.
Another room is equipped with that other arcade staple, Taiko No Tatsujin.
Oh yeah, love that.
Which has two giant drums in lieu of controllers.
Mm.
Okay. The fun doesn't end there, though.
What?
With plenty of other gaming options available, as well as PlayStation VR setup.
Ooh.
Who is going to a love hotel to do some loving in the hotel and putting a VR headset on?
I have no idea.
It's bizarre.
I have no idea. There's all sorts of interesting... Well, maybe it's just for someone who wants to go there on their own and they can watch some special films.
Right.
Maybe.
As well as PlayStation VR setup, other rooms have setups for naughty karaoke.
What does that mean?
Dirty darts.
What does that mean?
And even adult air hockey.
Excuse me?
How do you adult air hockey?
Do you just have
fast-moving projectiles?
A man or a woman of your choice floating on little air pockets just push them around.
That sounds wonderful. Sign me up. So I just wanted to draw that to your attention.
Wow,
really.
Thank you.
I was worried when you said in Japan, might say they have these things called love hotels.
No, I then went on to talk about drug abuse. And then just couldn't even read it because of my ailing eyes.
So, you know, it's kind of balancing out.
Just don't do drugs in the hotel.
In Japan, It's a sad time because you can't do the 420s.
No, you can't.
Not that we would suggest that anyone would ever do that.
Blaze it, my dudes.
But what you can do is for the rock bottom price of £40 a night, I believe.
Is it really?
Yeah. I didn't read that bit, actually. I sort of skimmed
over
it.
That's unbelievable. That's got to be for the cheapest room.
If you're looking for a weekday romp accompanied by some rhythm action gaming, the room can be yours for 2 hours, not a night.
Oh, okay.
For 6,490 yen, which is £44, going up to about £50 on the weekends.
That's insane, isn't it?
2 hours. I mean, I think I'd need a lot longer than that to play PSVR, is what I'm talking about.
Peter usually just goes to a regular arcade.
Yeah,
and he's, gets he's naked. Slowly ticking them off, the ones he's not allowed to go back to.
Lies across the air hockey table and says,
"Wee!
Puck me, puck me.
Puck me harder.
Puck me." Right.
What about the slide? I didn't hear how the slide came
into
this.
Well, there's just a photo of a slide.
Maybe
you
literally
get
came
naked
into this,
and slide
know.
Down into the bathroom. There it is. It's got a bend on it.
You could go straight into the shower. Just
one room, even
your bare skin.
Yeah.
Getting friction burns.
Make sure you leave
all
enough
the way
of your
down.
Lube so you can go down the slide.
Oh,
one room even
God.
Comes with a slide that ends up in the bathroom. Okay, perfect.
Amazing.
You could piss down it, couldn't you?
Oh, why would you?
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you?
You could. So, there we go. That's our weird news.
Weird news.
It's time for question three, Peter.
Excellent.
What we got?
Well, this is from Jamie Starr.
Jamie
it sounds
Starr.
Like some sort of celebrity.
It's Ringo's brother.
Freddie, yes. Borderlands 3 is expecting to be announced at PAX East. In what way do you predict the game to differ? And do you think the large gap between 2 and 3, do you think it's been facing development issues? I mean, it does say that, doesn't it?
It does say that.
You can forgive me for stumbling.
No, it's fine.
Do you think the large gap between 2 and 3, do you think it's been facing development issues, Ben?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jamie, for that. I am so excited about Borderlands 3.
You're a big old Border fan, aren't you?
Border fans. Border fans 2 was one of my favourite games.
Oh, really?
And I've played it to death, both the original on PlayStation 3 and also the one that was released in the Handsome Collection.
Yeah.
So I've been waiting for this for a long time. It's been 7 years.
Goodness me.
It's been 7 years since Borderlands 2. Quickly running down what Gearbox has been up to in the meantime.
Well, this is what I want to touch on, but yeah, please.
This is just developed, by the way. They published a few things, but develop-wise, since Borderlands 2, we've had Aliens Colonial Marines,
yeah,
which we all know about. Mm. We've had Borderlands the pre-sequel, which they helped with, but they didn't preliminarily. They weren't the primary developers. I think it was 2K Australia.
Okay.
With the primary developers. They've also done Borderlands the Handsome Collection, Battleborn, which also didn't end too great.
Yeah.
And Borderlands 2 VR. So Borderlands hasn't been getting a huge amount of love from them since Borderlands 2 was released. People have been clamoring for Borderlands 3 for a while. We saw stuff at, I believe, GDC, Game Developers Conference last year. They did a panel showing off their new engine, and it was very clearly cel-shaded in that Borderlands style, and it was clearly Borderlands. And they released a little teaser this week on Twitter.
Yeah.
Saying or suggesting that it's probably going to be announced at their PAX panel.
With the billboard.
Yeah.
Bill Borderlands.
The Bill Borderlands. William Borderlands.
William Borderlands here.
From every single Borderlands game usually starts with them in the desert, and it's panning up, and there's like a skag or some kind of creature running around on the floor, and there's always a dilapidated Borderland.
Yeah.
What am I looking for? What's
William.
The word?
Billy?
A William.
Billboard.
Yeah. A William Board.
A Willboard.
Oh, God, this is exhausting.
It is, yeah.
So, yeah, looks like it's happening. Peter, what are you saying?
I'm saying, you know, although I'm personally not a Border fan, I'm not an anti-Border man, but I just haven't really dabbled too much.
You're beyond the Borderlands.
Yeah, I'm well beyond the Borderlands. I know full well that it's certainly what Gearbox do best. So it's nice that they will be returning to that. I mean, if you include things they've published as well as developed,
yeah.
You know, Aliens, Colonial Marines, Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
Those two certainly didn't go super well. We do have, we've got a couple of friends at Gearbox, and I think, you know, everyone knows how well things were and weren't received. I don't mind saying so.
No, of course.
Bulletstorm, I mean, that certainly went down better. I didn't like the characters personally. I thought they were all assholes. Did you play Bulletstorm?
Didn't they? They did, because it was People Can't Fly, I think, who developed it originally. I think they published the remaster,
the full
recently.
Clip edition.
Yeah. No, I couldn't really get into it.
I was sort of baffled why it had been remastered and re-released, because
yeah, it was a long line of strange remasters we've had recently.
Yeah, and then We Happy Few, I think, ultimately turned out, to be a fairly fun experience. But I think initially that also suffered from people thinking it was going to be one thing, and then it turned out to be something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it looks like Borderlands 3 is going to be coming out, we all know that they can do that well. Mm-hmm. We know that Borderlands is a pretty game.
Yeah.
All you need to do is throw in a million guns with so many different customizable forms.
Yeah.
That's all they need to do.
Yeah, and the humor needs to be there as well.
They've got
a great team of writers there. I know it was, what's Ashley Birch's brother called? Ashley Birch is a voice actress.
Right.
Did Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn, among various other things. Her brother, who I am blanking on the name of right now, is he wrote Borderlands 2, and he worked for Gearbox. I don't know if he's still there, but he was really good. And if they can get a decent writing team together again, then it should be fine. As long as the humor's there, because it always just poked fun at itself the whole time.
Yeah.
The DLC
and stuff was always very
DLC was excellent. There was a Dungeons and Dragons DLC where you could hear the characters playing Dungeons and Dragons in the voiceover while you were playing,
right?
And they would say, "Hey, hang on, no, that sounds stupid." So they'd put you up against the dungeon master would say, "And then there was a massive dragon that did 10 million damage," and then this huge dragon appears in front of you that you can't hurt, and it just one hits you.
Yeah.
They say, whoa, that's not fair. And then it suddenly just turns into like a little rabbit.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was really good. Like, I really love the series, and I've been waiting for this for a long time. I don't know why they haven't ported Borderlands 1 to PS4 yet, because I think people would really like to play that.
Yeah, I would.
Even though, in my opinion, it wasn't as good as Borderlands 2.
Okay. That's,
some people don't think that. But in terms of where it could go and what's happening with it, Tales from the Borderlands, which was the Telltale series, was enjoyed by people, because Borderlands can be quite divisive, I find. Some people just don't get Borderlands and are kind of put off by it, which I do understand, because, you know, you've got this dubstep spouting little robot boy that some people don't like. But Tales from the Borderlands was enjoyed by both fans of Borderlands and people who couldn't care less about Borderlands, because it was so well written.
Yeah.
And it felt like the best realized story that Borderlands has ever done, even though it wasn't developed by Gearbox.
Right.
But it has been confirmed as canon. So those brilliant characters that were developed in that series could potentially show up in some form or another. And I would lose my mind, because usually you have a selection of vault hunters that you can choose to play as.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they have their own perks and skill trees and stuff. If those characters were available.
Yeah.
As playable, then I would lose my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still love to just bump into them at some point during some quest line. Bearing in mind, we're never going to get a second season of Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah, well,
kind of sad.
Rip. My one experience with Borderlands 1 is Lewis from the Augscast uploaded a video of his dad watching some footage of him and Simon fighting Skagzilla, which is like a boss.
Yeah.
And because it's a boss, they're having to absolutely wail on it and fire missile after missile at it. Mm-hmm. And his dad doesn't understand the concept of, you know, it should just go down, right, if one missile hits it.
Yeah.
And he says, guns appear to be powerless against it, which I love.
Sounds like an NPC.
Yeah.
A lot, though, has changed in the games industry over the last 7 years.
Uh-huh.
So some people are concerned that maybe it could be microtransactioned out the wazoo.
Oh, my God, imagine.
That it could be loot crated out the wazoo. That it could just be the vessel for Gearbox and 2K's attempt at sort of a Destiny or an Anthem.
Oh, no.
Which would just be worst-case scenario.
Might become a Battle Royale.
Oh, no. Well, they did Battleborn. That wasn't a Battle Royale, but that was their attempt at a MOBA or a hero shooter, and that didn't go very well. So there are plenty of ways this could be horrifying, but if they stuck to the fundamentals that made Borderlands 2 so great, I cannot wait. I want to see it, and I want to play it yesterday.
Well, it's coming not yesterday, but sometime, probably next year, I would imagine.
I hope so, man.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I really want to play it. And hopefully, if this is true and this is happening, as Peter said, we do have some friends over at Gearbox, so we will try and bring you all the coverage that we can of it. I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll try and get EA to bring back one of those Star Wars games for you.
Oh, I don't think they will.
That'd make you happy. Oh, no. Sorry. Call of Duty 2.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Above anything.
EA, bring back Call of Duty 2, please.
Well, those are all of the questions we've had this week, apart from one more, because it's time for the big discussion.
Discussion.
Yes.
Where did the PlayStation Classic go wrong? Says Mike Bell.
Does Mike Bell go on?
He does. I mean, that's his headline.
Right.
The actual words that he said are, "I love my SNES Mini, and the success of that and the NES Mini were great. But the PS1 Mini failed."
Mm.
Why do you think that was? And if you could compile your own list of games for a PS2 Mini, what would you choose?
Oh. Mm. So a little bit of background on the PlayStation Classic, as it was called.
Mm.
So Sony saw the success of Nintendo's little mini retro consoles and thought, yes, we're going to do that.
I think we all saw that and thought that.
Yeah.
Let's have a PlayStation Mini.
How could they possibly screw it up, Peter?
Well, many ways.
Many, many ways. So it was released last year just before Christmas.
Mm.
And the price point was $99.89, which is already more expensive than the NES and the SNES Mini. And I realized that the games and the licensing are probably far more complicated when it comes to Nintendo games, because they basically own everything they put out there.
Yeah.
And they haven't gone anywhere else in the meantime. But there were lots of good games on it.
And lots of other games as well.
Classic. So we had games like not that one. Final Fantasy VII.
Oh yeah.
Not that one. Oh, Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid's on there.
Not that one. Resi 1.
Tekken 3 is on there. And then some others.
And then the other ones on
other
there.
There are also other ones on there. Odd World.
We've put together a little sort of checklist of criticisms of the console.
Yeah.
Because it was not reviewed well.
No.
Fans weren't very happy. And as a result, it hasn't sold very well, which is sort of what we're trying to explore today.
I'm an enormous classic PS1
fan. Enormous. He's got a huge collection.
I've got a huge... Well, it's not that big, actually, but it's what you do. I don't think I was ever excited for this, because I think they announced the game list at the time that they announced them. Oh no, I think there was a brief period, I think, where we knew it was coming, but we didn't know the list of games.
Didn't they do a gradual reveal as well?
Yeah, I can't remember. I saw them all in one go anyway. I must have like missed the boat if it was gradual. But certainly, the moment that I saw what games were coming out on this, I was like, okay, well, I'm not getting one of those. I'm not interested. Like, you know, there's about six or seven games on there that I would be interested in playing. And actually, I own most of them.
Yeah,
of the good ones that I wanted to play anyway.
Me too.
That was my overall impression.
I wasn't like I saw it and thought, cool.
Yeah.
And then you know, £89 is a lot of money, and we'll get on to what the alternatives are really, including Raspberry Pi, which some people have done. They've 3D printed a PS1, mini PS1, and then just stuck a Raspberry Pi in it that can play everything.
You can also, again, we wouldn't encourage this.
No.
But you can hack your actual real PS1 Mini to...
Can you really?
You can like plug a USB into it with just ISOs on it, and they appear, like you can even have it like on that front menu with all the box art, so you can slide through and like the box art for like every game that you want will come up.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a hack for it.
That actually makes it seem like it might be worth getting there.
Well, except Sony should have done it officially.
Also apart from the reasons that we're about to mention.
Yeah.
So it was missing many, you know, prominent games. Like, I just picked a few that some people complained about, like Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Silent Hill, Chrono Cross, Tomb Raider, The Legend of Dragoon, Parappa the Rapper you would have thought would be on there.
Yeah.
As a standard. That hasn't gone anywhere. They haven't done anything with that. No Spyro and Crash is the big one, and we know obviously Activision now has them.
Yeah.
But Final Fantasy VII's on there. What else we got? Tekken's on there. Grand Theft Auto's on there.
Rayman is presumably still owned by Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just weird that those two, basically the mascots of PS1,
yeah,
aren't there.
I mean, maybe Activision said no because, you know, Ensign was already out and they were like, well, we're kind of using him now, thank you very much. And yeah. Spyro, which I don't think was out at the time, but they knew that that was on its way as well.
Maybe I think it might have just come out.
Okay.
It's like a couple of, like a month before.
Yeah. But still, yeah. Maybe they just didn't want to share those.
Yeah, it's possible. So that was weird. And then we've also got that the controllers, they don't have analog sticks or rumble functionality, which is a bit of a bummer with things like Metal Gear Solid.
Ape Escape.
With the Psycho Mantis
fight. Oh, the Psycho Mantis, yeah.
And stuff. Any games that are in, that you control a 3D character around a 3D space are a lot weirder to control with a D-pad.
Ape Escape wouldn't have worked at all because there were independent controls on D-pad versus, like, you needed your D-pad and your thumbsticks to play Ape Escape. Yeah, for, like, selecting, like, your tools and stuff and using them. So, yeah.
That's a bummer. Yeah. There's no filter options, like graphic smoothing or scan lines like you used to get on CRTs.
Yeah.
So a lot of the complaints stem from the games just don't look weirdly, even though they've been upscaled to 720p, they don't look as good as they did on CRT screens.
It makes them look strange, yeah.
Yeah, because CRT sort of used to hide some of the rough edges.
Yeah.
And now you can just see it warts and all. Mm-hmm. And there's no graphics options, which I think you can get on the NES and the SNES Mini, or it might not even need it on there.
Well, Ben,
you
can actually, in a way, you can get them
okay
on your PS1 Mini, and not even really by hacking.
Okay.
So basically, the way the games run on a PS1 Mini is there's an open source emulator on there.
There is.
So Sony have just used an open source emulator. If you plug in a USB keyboard into your PS1 Mini, press escape, a load of emulator settings come up on
the
screen, including scan lines, region select. Because also, randomly, the games that were featured, some were PAL and some were NTSC,
right,
which means they work in different ways, and like some of them don't run very well.
Okay.
But there's region select. You can have more save files. There's all kinds of options on there that are literally already built into the open source emulator that Sony used.
Open source means free.
Free.
That someone else made.
All they had to do was make it so that you could press, like, or your shoulder buttons at the same time and that menu comes up, or start and select and that menu comes up and you can just flick those. It's in there. All you have to do is plug a USB keyboard in. You're not hacking.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's absolutely insane.
It is mad.
Speaking of which, Geek.com reports, instead of using their own proprietary software, Sony is using open source software to run the PlayStation Classic, specifically PCSX Rearmed. The problems inherent with this emulator are very much present here. Every game has muddy-looking graphics with inconsistent frame rates. Audio can sometimes run slower than it's supposed to. The original PlayStation is graphically inferior by today's standards, but its games looked far better than they do on the PlayStation Classic.
Brilliant.
Then, of course, too expensive. They didn't really sell very well. Loads of people reporting that worked at like GameStops and supermarkets, that they just had stock coming out their ears.
Yeah.
And it's now on sale for $40.
Well, I mean, that just makes it more tempting to me now that I know that, you know, I can
just... You can get one a lot cheaper.
Well, I can get one a lot cheaper and put loads of ISOs on it.
If you do that, I'll probably follow suit.
You'll probably
take that
call
risk
the police
first.
On me, right?
Oh, of course,
yeah,
I will.
It's a big illegal thing, bad thing to do.
Thrown in prison. But it all seems very weird when you consider that the PlayStation Vita TV, which I still think is a criminally overlooked device that they released, and I have one at home, and I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
It plugs into into the mains. You can use a PS3 controller or a PS4 controller on it. It connects to your Wi-Fi or through an Ethernet connection.
Yeah.
And it's basically the PlayStation Vita handheld operating system on a little device that you can plug via HDMI into your TV.
Yeah.
So you can play Vita games, you can play your PSP games, you can play the vast selection of PS1 classics that they've got on their store that a lot of people probably already own just by having a PS3 if they had one for so many years,
right,
like I do. And you can get all the Spyro games, you can get all the Crash games, you can get Crash Team Racing, you can get all the Final Fantasy games, you can get Metal Gear Solid. There's so much stuff on there and so many weird niche things as well. And because I think they've stopped manufacturing them now, they are a little more expensive.
Right.
But I got mine for like £50 several years ago.
Mm.
And it's just way better than this sounds.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got the Raspberry Pi route or buying one and just accessing the settings that are in it anyway.
Yeah. The one other disappointing thing about this is that, you know, probably the biggest issue is the game selection that is on there. Mm. You know, it's lacking. The most disappointing news that I've read about this whole thing is that data miners have found a load of information on there that shows numerous other games were tested on there,
really,
but not included. Would you like a rundown of just a selection of the really, really good ones? Although there were like 36 of them or something.
I would like that
counted
rundown,
them myself.
Please. Did you?
Yeah. Crash 1 and 2.
Yep.
Toy Story 2.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Driver.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo 1.
You can't get past the first level of Driver. Everyone knows that's not allowed.
They left that in.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo 1.
Yeah.
GTA 2.
Yeah, why the hell wasn't Gran Turismo on there?
I don't know. GTA 1 was on there, wasn't it? But GTA 2 apparently not.
Okay.
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
That was an excellent game.
I loved that game. Klonoa.
Don't know that one.
I loved that. Cooler World, the one where you're a ball.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Soul Reaver.
Yeah.
Medal of Honor.
Oh, yeah.
Medieval. I know you're not a fan of that.
Right, but yeah, but still, it's an important one. Yeah.
Parappa the Rapper, they tested.
Right.
Parasite Eve.
Yeah.
Ridge Racer.
Uh-huh.
Like the original, because Type 4 was on there, I think. But Silent Hill was tested.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider 1 and 2. Tomb 1, or Tomba in America, but we didn't call it that because it means tomb in Italian, so you don't want to sell a game in Europe called Tomb.
Right.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Yeah, man, that would have been so good.
And Vagrant Story, which is like a JRPG that I've never played.
I played a bit of Vagrant Story. Yeah. That was like a really hard Final Fantasy game.
But some people are really into it.
Oh, people love that
game. Was apparently tested, and they didn't make it.
That list alone would have made an incredible PlayStation classic.
If they'd been on there, I would have played that.
I assume with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, the licensing for the music would be really complicated.
Oh my god,
nowadays.
Imagine that. Yeah,
because I don't think that ever got a PlayStation Classic release.
But like, worst case, you could just remove the sound. Well, it probably won't be the same, would it? But
yeah, just with stock royalty-free music.
Yeah. I don't know. Or they could put out like a call saying, We're re-releasing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 on the Classic Mini, which modern like rock or punk bands would like a track on there.
Yeah, because I imagine a lot of people who enjoy that kind of music are very much part of the skating scene and played that kind of game when they were growing up.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think the real tragedy here is that it's such a missed opportunity because they had a chance to see what their competitor was doing.
Yeah.
And then they did it worse. They could have had it so you could connect it to the internet and add more games with microtransactions or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just like say, I don't want this game that's on there.
Yeah.
I'd like to swap it for another
one. God, imagine.
There were so many options. But then there were weird things that made you think, maybe they did care.
Mm.
Because the open button on the top of the Mini is only used for games like Final Fantasy VII and Metal Gear Solid, where you had to change disc.
Yeah.
So you just press that when it says it in the ROM that's on there, or the ISO, and it'll change it, which is a really nice little feature. Mm. But then there's so much wrong with it. I just don't understand how, like, they should have really cared about this. This is their legacy.
Yeah.
And they just ruined it.
I think they just thought, like, oh, if we just rush something out, people will, look,
people will
they're
buy
buying the Nintendo ones, they'll buy ours, right? That's how it works. People just buy it.
Certainly
I mean,
not.
This year is the anniversary. No, it's not. Next year, I think, is the 20th anniversary of the PS2.
Is it?
I think.
Oh, my God.
Citation needed. So, I mean, I think part of the question was, what would we like to see on a PS2 classic? So,
absolutely.
If we do a quick rundown, do you have any preferences?
I have a couple that I would like. I would really like Time Splitters.
Of course.
I'd really like Time Splitters on there, please. Obviously, God of War should be in there. Probably, what's the one where you're the wolf who does the painting?
Okami. Where you're the wolf who does the painting.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think
of really important.
In front of a canvas.
Can you just come back in a minute? I'm doing there's a little wolf pause. Just prominent PS2 games I'm thinking of, you know, the really big boys.
Tekken Tag was my favorite Tekken of all. I think even more than Tekken 3, which was on the Classic Mini, PS1 Classic Mini. Yeah.
Final Fantasy X should probably go on there.
Yeah.
People love that game, although obviously there's an HD remaster available on PS4 and PS3.
Well, exactly. I wondered about Bully, but that's also, you can get that on Steam now.
Oh, San Andreas still. And
San
stuff.
Andreas, all the GTA games.
Because these games, I mean, I imagine the ISOs for them aren't the biggest things in the world, and with modern storage and technology, they could easily fit them on there. But you know, you've got a couple of games on the PS1 Classic that would run you tens and tens of hours, but on the PS2, they could all be like 30-hour games.
Yeah, all of them.
What about you though? What have you got?
Resident Evil 4 is probably it's maybe top three of my favorite PS2 games of all time. It might even be number one. I don't know. I don't like to say that thing. But Soul Calibur 2, I really enjoyed as well. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite Soul Calibur.
Yep.
Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people are gushing enough about Kingdom Hearts 3. I think plenty of people would love to play Kingdom Hearts 1 again.
Mm-hmm.
Jack and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yep, yep.
Sort of the second generation mascots of PlayStation. And Burnout, maybe. Burnout Revenge.
Perhaps Killzone.
Killzone, yeah. Yeah, I never played much Killzone, but I know that was there. I remember reading, I think I got a magazine when Killzone was announced, and the front page was Killzone, Sony's new secret weapon against Halo.
Oh yeah, it was the Halo killer, wasn't
yeah.
it? It was like, no, it's just a bit brown.
Yeah.
Just a bit of a brown, very brown shooter. Mm. It feels like you're running in treacle all the time.
Oh no.
But yeah, hopefully if they do decide to do a follow-up, they do it justice this time, because I think Sony gets put off by this stuff. They make these incredible handhelds, and people don't buy them.
Mm.
And then they stop promoting them, or they never promoted them in the first place.
Yeah.
And then they've got this PS1 classic that they really promoted, but half-assed. Mm. And they might just be like, well, people clearly don't like mini consoles, yeah. and they never bother again. Hopefully they do. Hopefully they do it the way that you know, we've suggested, mm-hmm. in that they pay attention to the things they didn't do correctly last
yeah.
time.
Just learn from your mistakes.
I really hope so.
We'll see.
Well, thank you very much, Jamie, for that question. And let us know in the comments below what you think about the PS1 Classic, if you've got one, and what you'd like to see on a PS2 Classic. And if you've got that Nezzle SNES Mini as well. And,
yeah.
And what you like about that you think PlayStation should definitely do.
What should be on the N64 Mini, if that will happen?
Oh, God.
I'd love one of those.
Just a tiny... horrid controller. Even harder to use than before. Let us know what you think of all the things we've discussed today in the comments below. That's about it for today. Peter, where can they find us on the places?
You can find us on almost all of the places at Team Triple Jump. We are youtube.com/Team Triple Jump. We're also on Twitch, where we stream 3 times a week at 3 p.m. GMT. Check out our Twitter for information on that. And our Twitter itself is twitter.com/Team Triple Jump. We've also got Facebook for the other social media things if you're over 65.
Yes.
You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. And if you're of a certain tier, you get Worst Games Ever 2 days early. You can also post questions to the podcast.
All tiers. All tiers can do that.
Yeah. And you can also get access to an exclusive room on our Discord, which is bit.ly/Team Triple Jump. We've got a website, haven't we, Ben?
We have. It's triplej.mup, and you can buy merch and all sorts of other things, mugs and swimsuits for some reason. So do consider going and doing that. Thank you very much.
Will you ever consider putting the swimsuit in different colours?
No.
No.
No, it's a joke.
Stop buying. No, don't stop buying.
Stop buying.
It's really good. They probably have fairly good margins, I imagine.
Yeah, I assume so. There's so many holes in it.
Yeah.
Lists. We do those every week. They go out Tuesdays and Thursdays. Streams, as Peter said, Monday, Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. GMT. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly. The week coming up is a Worst Games Ever week.
Yes, it is.
And that'll go out on Friday for patrons and Sundays for everybody else. And the podcast is every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all.
Yes.
I think we've done it all. Thank you very much for watching/listening. Probably should have mentioned it at the start of the show, but we're on everything now. As far as we're aware, we're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Acast is where we're hosted.
Yeah.
All the links are in the description if you want to try and find us audio-wise, or if you're listening on one place that you know was confirmed and we're just waiting for yours to pop up. And if we're not on your platform of choice yet, tweet us at Team Triple Jump and let us know where you'd like us to show up, and we'll do our best to get that to happen.
Get on.
You. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben, very much as well.
And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.